going to continue what we looked at last Thursday and emphasize this addiction that 1 Corinthians 16:15 mentions. They addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. The saints had a ministry, and they addicted themselves. Now, again, we qualify that definition of ministry to go way beyond what I'm doing here tonight, speaking behind the pulpit. Ministry is magnified way beyond that, multiplied way beyond that. Too often we have a very narrow definition of ministry. And I think what this verse is saying, and as far as addicting themselves to the ministry of the saints, is helping us to understand it so much more. Now, we identified a number of addictions, and by no means was that list exhaustive. There's many, many more that unfortunately are a part of that. And unfortunately, they're negative. They have an impact that is negative. However, this addiction, the ministry of the saints, is a positive impact and is going to bring positive changes, because an addiction, and probably a word that would fit a little bit better, would be devotion. Sometimes, though, devotion has a very limited scope. We talk about morning devotions or family devotions, or and we're talking about, you know, just a limited period of time. I want us to expand that definition with the idea of an addiction that makes you driven, makes you controlled, and makes you purposeful in his direction. Praise God. So our addiction and our devotion is fed, it's motivated by who he is. Not so much by my desire, my ambition, my ability, my ingenuity, my education, whatever is mine. I think we need to remember, like the Apostle Paul, in me dwells no good thing. Period. And the I of Romans 7 needs to be replaced by the Spirit of Romans 8. Amen. And the emphasis being made there. So, I'm addicted to him because he is my Heavenly Father. We're just going to look at some reasons why this addiction is a good thing. Our Heavenly Father. And he makes that promise. There's 2 Corinthians 6, he establishes the need for separation, the need for a difference, what communion hath light with darkness, and righteousness with unrighteousness, and so on. He makes those five comparisons, not because he's trying to drive the point into the ground. He's trying to establish there's a reason for the separation. And that reason is, he says, I will be your father. You will be my sons and daughters. Praise God. You will be my people. I will be your God. And that's an incredible offer and an amazing promise that he would make to us. Amen. And based on that statement, as far as him being our God, we being his people, him being our father, us being his sons and daughters, we go back to a statement that Jesus made in Luke 12 and 32, where he said, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And that has a scope beyond our imagination. That goes beyond Anything that we perhaps may have conjured or imagined in our minds is what God can do. We barely scratch the surface of what God can do. Amen. And so that addiction drives us to discover more. He's our Father in Revelation. When the question was asked, show us a Father, the Lord kind of chided Philip a bit. Have I been so long with you, you've not known me? And that probably caused them to scratch their heads a little bit. But Jesus went on to proclaim, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So God in the flesh, praise God. And we sang about the Messiah tonight and all of the wonderful passages and promises that are contained in the book of Isaiah, probably more than any other Old Testament book. The book of Isaiah has prophecies about the Messiah, the one who would be born wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Thank God that that causes us to be addicted to him. Amen. Handel wrote that Messiah a long time ago, and the Hallelujah Chorus being the climax of that, and how powerful, and the hallelujahs that went on and on and on. It's because he is the Mighty God. He is the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace, the one who is wonderful, the one who is Counselor. Praise God. Now, Hebrews 13 and 8 is a simple statement, a powerful doctrinal statement, but a statement that has far-reaching ramifications for us. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. And we read that, and it's a good statement, a short statement, a concise statement that sums up how the Lord was in yesterday, he's in our today, and he will be in our tomorrow. Praise God. But how that applies is, in the past, he has taken care of our sins. All of our faults, all of our failures, all of the aspects that would have made us unqualified to be forgiven. He said, I forgive. I won't remember it anymore. The God who knows everything said, I'm not going to remember your sins. That's amazing. Amen. The devil is very quick to remind us of our shortcomings and remind us of our past and of our failures and our faults and our areas, you know, where we fell short. But thank the Lord, Jesus is in our yesterday and took care of our past. Amen. He's in our today. His presence is here in the present. And thank God that we know his presence is not just the tingly, not just the excitement, not just the thrill. It's all of those things, certainly. And we get excited in our worship. We get thrilled in what God can do and the power he can show. But his blood continues to cover us. We are washed in his blood. Praise God. And it's his precious blood that redeemed us. Not silver and gold. Not those things that perish. Not those things that can't buy peace. Can't buy salvation. Can't buy cleansing. And guilt and humiliation and shame removed from us. Oh no. Thank God, his precious blood, his powerful name, his wonderful presence, all of those are with us today. Amen. And then forever. That's God's plan. Forever. So many things don't last here in this world. They just don't last. And it almost seems as though commodities and items on the shelf or on the showroom floor or whatever are not lasting as long as they used to. It just seems like it they fall apart. And we just dispose of that and get another one. Oh, well, another vacuum cleaner, another microwave, another automobile, another suit of clothes, another watch, another device, whatever it is, just disposable. And here we go with another one. That's our society. That's our lifestyle. That's our condition. But the Lord is saying, forever is what I have in mind for you. Praise God. And we don't want to miss out on that. And make sure that our addiction, our devotion, is going to bring us to that point where His faithfulness, His power to perform and provide is going to be what we experience again and again. I am alive forevermore, He said. Praise God. Amen. And He's coming back for a church, not for a period of time the Great Tribulation, 7 years. And then we come back to the earth, and then we're stuck here again, and things are all going to be back where we started. No. That's not what God has in mind. Praise God. I'm thankful that He gave Himself for the church, and He has eternity in mind. Praise God. So the ministry of the saints, that's a good addiction. And that's one we want to feed. That's one we want to hold on to. 2 Corinthians 5 and 20 makes mention of a capacity, a position, a standing that you have. And Paul includes all of us when he says, we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador. An ambassador represents, he's on foreign soil, right? And an ambassador represents the authority of the one who put him in that position. A prime minister, a president, a king, a parliament, whatever authority put him in that place, he represents that authority. Just think of the authority you represent if you're an ambassador for Christ. Now, you're on foreign soil. We don't belong here. This is not our home. We're passing through, like the old song says. We're not going to drive our stakes down here and establish our temporary abode in a permanent sense. Oh, no. Praise God. We're going on. So, we represent the Lord. We are examples of salvation, or samples, if you will. This is what the Lord can do, you know, and He's using you to show His goods to the world. You're an ambassador. Amen. We are keepers of the cross, and we take up that cross daily and follow Him. And so, in that sense, we are ambassadors. Look at the power that He gave. He sent those disciples out. They came back rejoicing. They weren't depressed. They weren't defeated. They weren't in despair. They came back rejoicing, Lord, even the devils are subject to us in Your name. And then the Lord said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's an incredible promise. And He gives that because you're an ambassador. Because that authority and that power that you represent is there. Praise God. And His blessing is there as well. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5, there's mention of, and I want you to think about this now, because I want you to give me your insights on any difference of what is mentioned here as far as reconciliation. Now, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Verse 19. Not themselves, praise God. Himself. He came to fulfill that. Then the apostle mentions the word of reconciliation, and he mentions the ministry of reconciliation. The word and the ministry. Okay? So what's the difference? Or is there a difference? Why did he go on in this aspect of being an ambassador and so on? And it's committed to you. That's how strong he said it. It's committed to you. The word of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. Okay? So what do you think? Why did he, was he trying to draw a distinction, or was he expanding on the point? What was he attempting to do there? And obviously, God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself is the basis by which he is establishing this point. And then he's letting us know, okay, you have a work in this. You have a part in this. Since you're an ambassador for Christ, you have the word of reconciliation. You have the ministry. We're talking about being addicted to the ministry of the saints. So you have a ministry of reconciliation. Sister Sherry? Okay. All right. And when we consider the Word of God, the Word of Christ, we know we're not talking about something that is just ink on a paper. We know His Word is powerful. We know His Word is action. So ministry is action of what has been put into effect as his word. All right? Very good. Sister Glover? Okay, so there's an element of obedience that is connected to the word, so that it's not just, I got a kick out of Max Lucado's writings one time when he made the parallel of a factory owner giving directions to his employees in a document. And said, I'm going to be gone for a few months, and this is what I want you to do while I'm gone. And so, okay, well and good. They all got copies, and the owner left on his trip. Every morning, those employees got together and read bits and pieces of that document. And they discussed it. They looked at definitions. They looked at the Greek and Hebrew. And they wondered, what does this mean? And every day they did that. And twice on one day. They discussed it forwards and backwards. They memorized it. They just immersed themselves in that document. Finally, the return of the owner was upon them, and he came back inquiring, "What did you do?" "Oh, we studied it. We memorized it. We digested it. We dissected it. But what did you do?" You see the parallel? Lord, help us when he comes back. Did you use the word in reconciliation? Did you involve yourself in the ministry of reconciliation? Amen. Amen. All right, Sister Phoebe. Okay, and that action is what he's looking for. We look at Hebrews 11, and sometimes the concept of faith is seen as thought, philosophy, concept, principle. But Hebrews 11 says faith is action. They did things to verify and show they had faith. By faith, through faith, in faith, they acted. And obviously that's what the Lord is looking for here. Amen. Sister Becca, did you have your hand up? Okay. The word is the foundation. Heaven and earth are going to pass away. There are faulty foundations, but his word is forever. So we hold to that word, but then we act on that word. And there's a foundation that is not—it's stable. It's forever, but it's not a monument. It's not a tombstone. It's something alive, something powerful, something active. Amen. And I think of Mark 16:20, where the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. And we know our faith is based on the word. We know we can't go outside the word of God, which is the word of reconciliation. And then we act on the ministry of it. Okay, let me ask you then, how do we act? What do we do? What does that encompass? And you've all hit very strongly on the need to do, to act, to be involved, to be devoted. How do you demonstrate that? Let's take it a step further. How do you demonstrate the ministry of reconciliation? Sister Phoebe? Say it again. You do what the Lord gave as an example.
And he taught,
Yeah. And that emphasis on teaching from Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore into all the world, baptizing them, teaching them to observe. Teach all nations. We have it here, make disciples of all nations. And that's to be the outcome of the teaching, not just to prattle on, not just to make it seem like we're doing what we were told to do, but there's effectiveness, there's purpose, there's direction. And Acts 2:38 it's so simple, but yet powerful and profound in the changes that are made. And that's to be the outcome. The word of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation, is to have an outcome of souls that are saved. Praise God. And very thankful that there were those who ministered to us through prayer, through teaching, through testimony, through preaching, through lunches, through coffees, through, you know, fellowship. They simply took time to be with us. And praise God, that helped us to move in and move on. Amen. All right, so we have then this aspect of the word of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation, and how they fit together. Praise God. And the work of God then continues, and the blessings are there for us to have his power and his strength within. Now, lest we get the idea it is only, let me rephrase that. We get the idea that totally on us, totally on our abilities and our ingenuity and our intellect and so on. Keep in mind Hebrews 1:14, that angels are ministering spirits to who? To the heirs of salvation. That's you. So, you've got resources way beyond yourself. And this is what I said as far as the element of the supernatural becoming more prominent, more expected, more involved in our ministry. I'm not going to do it myself. I can't do it myself. I've got to have the supernatural manifested here in a powerful way. And thank God, angels are ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. Psalm 34:7 in the Amplified reads, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, those who revere and worship him with awe, and each of them he delivers." Praise God. Each one. His power, his blessing is there. So, if God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, I've got to believe he's going to be there in your word. He's going to be there in your ministry, because you're basing it on him and you're including the supernatural. You're believing for the supernatural. You're trusting for the supernatural. You're praying and fasting for the supernatural. Amen. And God's not going to be lackadaisical about that. God's not going to be let's see how they do on their own. No. This is his ministry. He came to seek and to save the lost. This is what he wants you to do. Praise God. And we can be a part of it. Now, do addicts share their addiction? Oh, my goodness, do they ever. And that's what the Lord wants you to do. Praise God. And so in the book of Acts, it's exciting to see Philip. And this is this amazes me every time I look at the book of Acts, because there's just one Pentecostal that went into the city and started preaching Jesus. And miracles and signs and wonders and great joy and people baptized in Jesus' name. Philip was one busy preacher. And I've got to believe he recognized in the Spirit some that could be his helpers, and he said, you take that group of people over there and you baptize them in Jesus' name, after he had baptized him. Amen. And the power of the Lord being displayed like that, just an amazing thing. Thank God for the blessing of the Lord. Now, Acts 8 and 12. When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, there's strong doctrine in that one verse. And I want to point out just the one part, men and women. Because under the old covenant, men only received the sign of the covenant. This is the new one. Amen. Hallelujah. And thank God the Lord includes everyone, and his signs are powerful and wonderful. Praise God. And Galatians 3:27-28 establishes that clarity on the covenant as well. As many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Whether you be Jew or Greek, whether you be bond or free, whether you be male or female. Praise God. The Lord just opened it up. Amen. So that's the scope of the ministry, see? That's what the Lord wants to have happen. Now, Philip's there all by himself. Revival has broken out in an incredible measure, but they haven't received the Holy Ghost yet. Peter and John, come on down here. And so Peter and John laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, Simon was there. Simon was baptized in Jesus' name. But Simon had an addiction. What was it? Sorcery. And he hadn't given it up. Or at least it came back on him if he had. Here, let me pay you. Let me give you money. You give me that power. On whoever I lay my hands, they receive the Holy Ghost. He saw something dynamic. He saw something supernatural. And because he fiddled around in his addiction with the supernatural, he thought he could buy that. He's thinking, oh man, all of the money I can make, all of the people I can influence, the great impact that I can have. And Peter preached repentance to him. You better repent. God's judgment's going to come down on you. His heart was not right in the sight of God. And to Simon's credit, He asked Peter and John, pray for me. Oh, pray for me that those things don't come upon me. Praise God. I'm thankful that people with addictions can be set free. They can be delivered. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that my mom went from an addiction of alcohol to an addiction to the Almighty. Went from being an alcoholic to an apostolic. Praise God. And many of you and your loved ones or your acquaintances, your people that you know have been delivered from their addictions. Praise God. The power of the Lord. Now, the Lord wasn't done with Philip. Philip, go out into the desert place. And I'm impressed with Philip. He went into a city by himself. He started preaching the name of Jesus. He started seeing changes. He started teaching them about the power of that name. They were baptized. And now he hears the voice of the Holy Ghost saying, go out into the desert place. Okay. Here he goes. And while he's out there again, he hears the voice of the Spirit. Go and join yourself to that chariot. So quickly he goes. There's an Ethiopian. He's reading a scroll. And that scroll is what we call chapter 53 of Isaiah. Understandest thou what thou readest? Philip said. No, the Ethiopian replied, how can I, except some man guide me? Ooh, I think a rejoicing came on Philip right then. I think he had a hard time holding back the hallelujah hoedown that was going through his heart and mind right then. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for guiding me. Thank you, Lord, for sending me. Thank you, Lord. And so, at the same verse, he preached Jesus. Praise God. And the man didn't understand. Is he talking about himself? Is he talking about somebody else? And Philip preached Jesus. Praise God. And they came to a place where there was water in the desert, which is not a coincidence. Not just happenstance. But there's the water. And the Ethiopian asked, see, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? How did baptism come up? Because Philip preached it. Praise God. He preached it in Samaria, and here he is preaching in the desert. Praise God. And so they went down into the water, baptized him in the powerful name of Jesus, the name above every name, Jesus, the saving name, Jesus. And Philip was taken out of there. Praise God. What I like to think of as a prototype of the rapture. Amen. Away he went. And the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. It wasn't drab. It wasn't dreary. It wasn't depressing. No. He got a hold of the addiction. Because Philip was quick to share it. Praise God. So share that addiction. You go with the gospel. Just like Jonathan told his armor bearer when the Philistines were looking for a fight. Jonathan didn't want to disappoint them. And he told his armor bearer, let's go. There's no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Praise God. And so away they went. And the Lord honored that step. You grow with the gospel. I've just noticed a few times in the book of Acts, maybe there's not that many, but I noticed a few where the word multiply comes up. The word add comes up. You grow with the gospel. You go with the gospel, and you grow with the gospel. It reminds me of a plan that Pastor Jeff had in Ketchikan. You know, the lady who asked for the crumbs. Remember her? She's Syrophoenician. She's not Hebrew. She's not one to stand in a heritage and be able to claim it and say, Lord, you can give it to me. No, the Lord said, I can't give children's bread to dogs. And that was a pretty tough statement. But the third time she called him Lord and said, Lord, even the crumbs fall from the table or given to the dogs. Oh, the Lord blessed her. But here's Crumb. Crumb. And this is the plan that Pastor Jeff came up with a few years back. Crumb. Christians reading and understanding and ministering the Bible. Crumb. Christians reading and understanding and ministering the Bible. Give some people the crumbs. Praise God. And it'll be more than satisfactory, more than enough to minister to their needs. Praise God. The Lord said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You look at Isaiah 54 and 2, and this is a statement that that Isaiah recorded, and it has to do with growth. And it says, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen your stakes. Look at the verbs there. Enlarge, stretch forth, spare not, lengthen, and strengthen. Praise God. That's what the gospel can do. That's the power that the Lord can give in terms of what he is able to reveal and how he's able to bring forth. Now, you look back at the garden. You look back at the beginning, and the Lord said, "Let there be." And every creative act was fulfilled just as he said. And he assessed it, he evaluated it, and said, "That's good." Amen. Every step, and it wasn't complete. But every step, he said, it's good. And then he said, it's not good for man to be alone. And he created again. But even from that whole, I should say, that short statement, it's not good for man to be alone, we can take the aspect of family or a marriage, family, and we can take the aspect of church and unity, and we can take the aspect of growth. Amen. Yeah. Don't be alone. Don't be alone in your faith. Don't be alone in your walk with God. Don't be alone in your study. Bring somebody in. Praise God. Share your addiction. Let them know about it, because His love is what was what God was pushing. That was what was pushing him. He breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then we know the rest of the story. But God didn't lift his love. God didn't say, oh, you guys blew it. You guys really messed up. I think I'm just going to start over. No, his love continued to reach out. God so loved the world. And he loved his creation. And that's the place that he wants us to be. Okay, let me see if I can finish up here. Adam and Eve heard the voice of God. He didn't forsake them. He was still seeking their fellowship. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, and then they blamed each other. Adam said, "The woman you gave me." Eve said, "The serpent is the one," and so on. But we know sin was the problem, But Jesus is the answer. And thank God he paid the price because of his love. See, this is the means or the motivation for ministry. And he reached so far for man. He stretched his arms out so far that they were nailed to the cross. And the whip on his back, the crown of thorns, the nails in his hands, the nails in his feet. Just a sad story of rejection of his love. But through it all, we know the Lord did his work. Praise God. Because the stripes on his back were for healing. And for Sister Annette to be able to testify that the cancer is not winning. Amen. But the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God. The whip that fell on his back. The crown of thorns that lacerated his scalp. And the blood that flowed down his forehead and face and over his ears and the back of his neck. Again, the blood. The crown of thorns would become the crown of life that he would give to you and I. The nails in his hands would be so that you, as a believer, could lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Praise God. The nails in his feet were so that you could be mobile, so that you could take the message, so that you could go from house to house like they did in the book of Acts. Daily in the temple and from house to house. They ceased not to preach. Even though they were threatened, even though they were persecuted, even though they were beaten, even though they were locked up, daily they ceased not to teach and preach. Praise God. The spear in his side from which blood and water flowed. Thank God. The blood that forgives our sins, the waters that we're baptized in. Amen. Oh, yes. He came to redeem his bride. See, that's why he said, I'm your God. You're my people. I'm your father. You're my sons and daughters. Praise God. Amen. And the place that he's prepared. I go to prepare a place for you, he said. And I'm glad there's a pit that's prepared for the devil. I'm glad there's a chain that one angel is going to capture him and tie him up and throw him into that pit. But the Lord has a place prepared for you. Praise God. See, you can't, the addiction to him has got to stay alive. It's got to stay powerful. It's got to become stronger. Instead, the world and the devil and your flesh wants to make it weaker and do just enough to get by. No, 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 don't do all you can. Just do enough to get by. Because God is a God of love. His grace is amazing. He'll forgive you. And so we back up. No, man, pour it on. Become crazy in that addiction. Praise God. And then, oh my, the finality. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh my, how amazing that's going to be. Praise God. And addicted to him for eternity. River of life, tree of life. Oh my, how amazing and how beautiful and how wonderful that is. A mansion just for you. The joy of a homeowner. Always something to fix. Always something to spend money on. Always something to have to deal with. You think that's the way it's going to be over there? Praise God. Oh my. Don't miss it for the world. Praise God. Let's stand tonight. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Let's come and pray here for just a few minutes as we close up our time here together. Praise God. To have an addiction like Philip. Have an addiction like Paul. Paul who fought it so hard. And yet the Lord, in his love and mercy, knocked him down. Praise God. You know, restoration. Restoration is what the Lord does. You stop and think about it. Resurrection. After 3 days in the tomb, resurrection is restoration. His heart started beating again. His lungs started breathing. His blood started moving through the veins and arteries. There was restoration. Oh, God, help us. God, help us. Amen. To recognize there's resurrection and restoration that the Lord wants to do through us. Can we just ask the Lord to use us? Ask the Lord to use us. God, the word of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation.